Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical, while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it.
Hello, and welcome back to the Salty Seekers. Jay, welcome back.
I think I'm on the wrong channel. Welcome back, everybody.
Did you have a good summer?
So far. How about yourself?
Yeah, it was great. Season two. We're here. Season two. In my head, I'm hearing, we're back. We're back. Do you know that scene from The Hangover?
We are back, baby. We are fucking back. We're back. Classic. We are back! Yes, we are back!
It's been a while since I've
the
seen
the dentist that. Who's missing a tooth. He's going, we're back!
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't... Yeah.
Oh my God, I could watch The Hangover a zillion times. I probably have. But like, it's one of those things that never, ever, 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 ever gets old. Ever. How about you?
To me, it's Disney Channel. I watch that over and over and over. Vampirina, let's see, Bluey. Yeah, it's just nonstop.
I like Bluey.
Oh, it's good.
I'm okay with Bluey. Henry's a big Bluey fan.
It has a lot more humor, and it was disappointing to find out. We don't get all of them. It comes from Australia. So if you get the one there, it's funnier.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Boo, I want them all.
More good dad humor, all the like.
So anyways, this is our first episode back for season two. We had taken a little sabbatical this summer just to live some life. To recharge our batteries, to get some experiences, let it marinate a little. And I've missed you.
I've missed hanging out. This is great. Good to be back.
I know. Because, like, we talk all the time. We talk every day, but we don't get to hang. We don't get to hang every day. And so, like, good times. Missed your face.
I mean, every day I send messages like, good morning, how are you?
Yeah, and
you
I
know,
love
checking
it.
In on it. And then she replies back, is your face still ugly? You know, do something about it. I'm like, dang, vicious.
I think out of the two of us, I send the most compliments. I'm like, hey, handsome face, how you doing? And you're like, laundry.
Hey.
I'm like, hey, love bug, what's going on? And you're like, driving.
Ism.
That's okay.
Straight to the point.
I take you how you come. I know you don't mean any, like anybody else. Like if I knew them and they're normally very effusive, if they answered with short answers like that, I would be like, but I just know that's how you roll. You're a man of few words and you don't mean anything by it. Anyways, today we are talking about...
Stages of maturing spiritually.
Right. Stages of maturing spiritually. I do remember coming up with this topic because somebody had asked me about it in the comments at some point, and I thought it would be a good thing to go over. I should not be drinking something carbonated during this. Because I keep doing that, and that would be rude.
It's a terrible
so I'm
drink.
Push that to the side. This is so good. Oh my God, I just discovered them. I mean, it's like an Arnold Palmer with a little fizz in it, but my God, it's so good. I don't normally drink pop. If I do, it's usually zero or a diet. This isn't, but it's only because they don't make it in a zero. I wish they did. But I usually don't drink anything carbonated at all after my stomach surgery. But I kind of fell off the wagon lately and I'm loving it. So I don't know that I'm getting back on anytime soon. One of the things that I want to talk about stages of maturing spiritually for is because, particularly lately, I've gotten a lot of people who have questioned the different stages. And I've had to remind people that are newly waking up that sometimes you go through a bit of a manic phase, spiritually manic, when you first wake up. Like, you are all over the place. You want every topic. You want every psychic reader. You want every astrologer. You want every numerologist. You want to have your palms read. And then you want to know about every crystal ever. And you are solely keeping the crystal shop in your area alive and funded. And that's normal. That is absolutely normal for a brand new awakening person.
Isn't that called like the bliss phase? You start going through that, you get all the synchronicities. You get just the feeling of joy and euphoria. It's just,
Yeah.
And that's how I found you.
Hey, so like, hey, for the bliss phase. And I have continued to bring your life bliss ever since.
Yes. Yes. So we said the same thing at the same time.
Same thing. I heard it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You met me through a coaching session. If you want a coaching session, go sign up on my website. You get to spend an hour with me and like get all the advice you want. Talk my ear off. Do you feel like the coaching session was helpful to you? Like, seriously speaking. I mean, you came back for a second one, so I would think that it was somewhat helpful or you would have avoided me.
But No, it was. I enjoyed the conversation. It was able to relay stuff that in my day-to-day life that people around me, I wouldn't be able to communicate like that with. Hey, I felt this. I saw that. I heard this. And most people hear it be like, you okay?
Yeah. You know, oftentimes those coaching sessions are just that. It's somebody to help validate your experiences and to say, this is normal and this is what's helpful to do next. Or you may want to focus on this or that. So hopefully I can help in any way that I can. Anyways, that's typically where it starts. And that happened to me too, for sure. I would venture to say that everybody goes through that. I don't know that I've ever met anybody who didn't go through that stage. My dreams, I'm already a big dreamer. Like, man, the dreams that I have are so technicolor and full sensory. I get all the senses, very elaborate dreams. But let me tell you, when I very first started meditating and going through this awakening, my dreams were like my normal dreams times 1,000. They weren't just technicolor. They were like an IMAX movie in the theater, and they were so expansive and beautiful, and it was like a huge Steven Spielberg movie. I don't get that anymore, but that's what it was during that time.
I have fancy dreams.
I do. Be jealous. You do too sometimes. It's rare.
I think I do all the time. I just don't remember most of them. Because when I wake
that's
up,
what I mean.
I know it happened. I just snippets.
And also, I had, what is it called? Hypnagogic synesthesia? Hypnagogic. When you get those closed eye visuals. I have those all the time sometimes, but during that phase, like anytime, like if I would wake up in the middle of the night to use the restroom, when I would close my eyes, it would be like a technicolor acid trip kaleidoscope, just so colorful and bright. And I don't get that anymore.
You used to get that in the beginning during meditations. You would see that kind of kaleidoscope.
Right. Yeah, in the beginning, that's typically when this stuff happens. I think that they're trying to wine and dine you, like, look how cool this is.
Lame-o. I want them to treat me like they did when we first started dating.
Right? Exactly. You used to bring me flowers. Just saying, Spomi.
Now I can buy my own flowers.
I can buy myself flowers. Yeah, exactly. Except even no matter how much I meditate, they don't come back. Not like that.
So just know, if you do get a coaching session with her, very easy to plant earworms. That's it. Just a few words and she'll take off.
I'm easily led, for sure. I'm easily led if I like you. I'm just kidding. Everybody I have a coaching session with, I like you. Of course I do. But if I'm in a situation where I don't like somebody, I'm just kind of like, that was great. That was so funny. Mm-hmm.
I tell you, directly after our first coaching session, I saw an orb. It was after the coaching session, many days later, you had released a video and in it, you referenced one of my stories. And I'm sitting there watching on YouTube, my phone just watching it, and the orb just shoots past the phone as you And I just had a coaching session and this person, blah, 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 blah. And like, here comes the orb. I'm like, oh, look at their synchronicity.
Yeah. I wonder what that was about. I wonder if that was a part of my energy. I wonder if that was SPOMI. I wonder what it was.
You won't SPOMI.
Very cool. So in the beginning, when you first start waking up, you know, you're going to feel all this, like the before you wake up, you're initially going to be drawn. You're going to have an experience, a dream. You're just going to get curious about, I wonder what it's like to meditate. I wonder what that would do for me. You're going to have some kind of experience that starts to pull you. Your guides are going to be arranging all of these synchronicities in order to grab you in. Whether it's having videos show up or somebody at work having a conversation, whatever the case may be, or your gifts will start coming online and you'll have these things developing and you're like, what is happening to me? I mean, if you've been on my channel for any length of time, you know, my story is, you know, when my kids, their gifts were developing and they were experiencing some scary stuff. So I had no idea where to start with that. I drove them to Sedona because we lived in Arizona at the time. We walked into a crystal shop and I'm just like, I don't know what to do in here. And the shop owner showed us pendulums we could buy and taught us how to use them. And we did. And then I just started talking to SPOMI. Like, it was that simple. And my awakening went from there. I think you had gifts starting to come online, right? And you were wondering what's happening.
It was a great pull. I've been, maybe I should go see a psychic or go see something. And I finally did. I broke down. And, the person more or less was telling me, yeah, this is real, blah, blah, blah. You have all these gifts. We went through it. It gave me some literature. And it was later that night, the first time I recall seeing a blue orb. I'm laying, it was in an Airbnb, laying there, not just the blue orb moving across the ceiling. I'm like, just a singular little blue dot. I'm going crazy. But from there, it continued to, you know, pick up. I read the literature. I started watching the videos. I started getting more curious. You start running into, like you said, the synchronicities, the little bliss things. You know, I started getting angel numbers and more, you know, hearing more, seeing more. And of course, now it's died off a bit. And I guess that's why this episode is what this episode is. But it was definitely, you know, it was intoxicating. You wanted to really dig into it. Like, this is amazing. I'm getting little messages, little pick-me-ups. I'm like, why can't they still do it?
Right. I think that is why I also filmed this video. The other thing that was happening was I was getting comments or messages sent to me asking, what do you do when you feel like you've stalled? What do you do when you feel like you've hit a plateau?
Peace cake.
That helps everything, huh? So to finish off the beginning stage, it's important to follow that bliss. I say this all the time. It's important to pull the little strings of interest. This week, I'm interested in astrology. Cool. Go down that rabbit hole. While you're going down that rabbit hole, you're probably going to come across some other videos that you're like, oh, that sounds cool. Let's watch that. And then you go down that rabbit hole that leads to that one, that leads to that one, that leads to a book, that leads to a speaker, that leads to something else. And then you finally arrive at what you're really interested in or going to spend your time on. But you had to start where you started. And that's the natural progression of it. Don't feel like you're crazy, because a lot of people are like, I'm crazy right now. I'm all over the place. That's natural. It's natural. And that's actually the really fun part of it. Embrace it. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster. I mean, yeah, you're going to the top of the hill, but then like you're all over the place. But that's the fun part. That's what makes the money. That's what draws the people in, are the loops and the swirls and the tunnels and the dips and the like. Zero, what is it called? Zero G's or like negative G? What is that called? When your butt comes out of the seat, like you're floating?
Poor driver.
Anyway, are you a fan of roller coasters?
Yeah. Well, not as much as I was when I was younger. The older I get, the less I like them. I still try though.
Yeah, I love them, but they hurt my back now. Got old. Yeah.
The wooden roller coasters are the worst.
They are. But my favorite roller coaster was the Gemini at Cedar Point, and that's an old wooden coaster. Can't talk. That's an old wooden coaster. And I just saw a TikTok a few days ago. I don't know if it's already been torn down or if it's going to be, but like they took it out. And I was just like, huh?
That they will beat you down. Oof.
Oh my God. I live by Cedar Point. In Ohio, if any of you guys are familiar with that, if not, you can look it up. Have you guys ever been to Cedar Point? Let me know in the comments, what's your favorite ride? Best park. We always got season passes there when I was growing up and then in my young adult life. And so I would practically live at Cedar Point. And then one of my first jobs was at Cedar Point. And so I've spent thousands of hours in that park. And the roller coasters, man, we would just get off, get in line, get off, get in line, like ride. I rode the Gemini 35 times today, you know, type of thing. Yeah, so much fun. But I haven't been on one in a while. Anyways, I digress. In the beginning, it's normal to feel that bliss phase. It's normal to want all the things. Meditate every day. That is going to be your number one friend. That's going to be the thing that gets you from the starting point to all the things you want, the spiritual gifts, the opening of your third eye and stimulating your pineal gland. And it's going to transform your life. It makes you such a kinder, gentler, more loving person. It helps open your heart, get you some better sleep at night, all those things.
And some cool experiences too, especially in the beginning. You'll, I don't know, everybody's different, right? But yeah, I had the different images, sounds, feelings. So it was a really neat period.
Yeah, super cool. So the thing is that honeymoon phase, that bliss phase doesn't last forever. Just like in relationships, you probably love each other more as you go down the path. You have an appreciation for who that person is and their loyalty. And you love them on a whole deeper level than you did during that bliss phase. But that bliss phase was fun. So same with the spiritual journey. It's all going to settle down. It's going to simmer. You no longer have this burning, fiery desire to do all the things. It just kind of integrates into your life and becomes a natural part of your day versus an event, versus an external, I'm going to use this thing outside of myself to talk to my spirit guides outside of myself. And like, it just becomes a part of your day. Do you know what I mean? Especially if you are meditating and your other gifts are starting to open, you can just talk to your guides. You can get your answers here, or you can learn to trust your intuition and your discernment more than needing validation externally.
That totally makes sense. I mean, for me, in the beginning, like I said, you want all the things here. I was trying the pendulum every day, trying this and that. Now I can go days without thinking about it again. Like, oh yeah. You know, it's just a right. part of it. I do my meditations. I'm not trying to do all the things all the time anymore. I was like, yeah,
right.
It happens as it happens, and I'm just going to continue my journey.
Right. You also learned that, well, not learn, because it's not really learn. There's nothing wrong with the first stage, but you evolve into a state of knowing that a lot of those things are tools. They're divination tools to help you when you need some answers or to help you with your journey versus entertainment. Because in the beginning, I was like, this is so cool. I want to do all the things. I want to use my pendulum all day because it's so cool. I want all the answers. I also think that burning desire for all the answers goes away.
You realize you don't need them. And they're not going to give them to you anyway.
Right. They may give you some if you're ready for them and they'll benefit you in that moment. But like, you no longer need to have the answers. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned this before about how in the beginning, I wanted to know about every past life. I don't care if you've said there's 10,000. I want all 10,000. Start at the beginning. Go. Like I had a spreadsheet. I had notes written everywhere about all the past lives and the dreams I had and how they fed into this and memories that I had, the dates they were alive, who they'd be related to. I wanted all the information. And now I'm like, if we just filmed this numerology video with Kayla and we were talking about one of our past lives in Egypt that we had together. I couldn't even remember the person's name. You shush your face. That's
anything.
Not true. Fake news. I couldn't even remember the lady's name. I had to Google it. I'm like, what was her name?
Artemis.
Because, shut up. Your mama. Your mother.
No argument.
Yeah, I no longer have the need to know how it all works out. And if I'm doing the right thing in my day and which color would benefit me most to wear today. And I used to ask about everything. Now it,
same.
Who cares?
I'd be
doesn't
like,
matter.
Spare these pants make my ass look fat.
And not fat with an F. Fat with a peach.
Then they correct me. You misspoke. Flat.
That's nothing I've ever been accused of. It just becomes okay. Everything becomes okay. And you develop this knowing that everything is as it should be and that you can't screw it up and that what's meant for you isn't going to miss you. And as long as you're doing your part to try to keep your heart open and to meditate and do the spiritual hygiene things that are your responsibility, like meditating and whatnot, everything else is going to fall into place.
So it works itself out. You just have patience and just do what you're supposed to be doing. Even if you don't know what that is, just try to do the right thing. Try to keep yourself positive. And I know that's not always easy. We all go through ruts and struggles. But yeah, right. Just keep trying to be kind, non-judgmental. And it's something I work on all the time. Just because I don't disagree or agree with somebody doesn't mean I'm going to judge them because I don't know how they got there. I don't know their path. My path isn't their path. And just because I overcame whatever they overcame doesn't mean they're going to come out the same as me. It could be better. It could be worse. It's not my place to judge them. It's a difficult task, though. I promise it is.
It's so difficult. Oh, my gosh. It's so difficult. I find that I more easily remove myself from situations that tempt me to judge. At least I've learned that about myself. Like now, and when TikTok wants to fill my algorithm full of these political videos and stuff, I used to dive headfirst into them and at the end be like, how dare they? What, you know, blah, 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 blah. And now I'm just like, I get the gist of it and I go, not today. I keep scrolling because, yeah, not today. Or, you know, a position at work where I'm not exactly happy with the management. And instead of filling my days with like, you know, blah, 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 I applied for a new position. You know what I mean? Like go somewhere where it's a little happier. Little less tempting to be in judgment of people.
Or you'd be going somewhere to hate on new people.
Well, I hope not because I hear really good things. I'm very excited. But I haven't quite made it to the phase yet where I can just sit in non-judgment.
I don't think anybody can. It's hard.
You know, I remember when I was still in that bliss phase. I was still kind of in it when I moved home to Ohio.
And I can remember. It. Makes sense. Ohio.
I can remember sitting at work with Lauren, my friend Lauren, and she would be going on and on about these things that are triggering her. And she's judging people and she's going, does this not bother you? I remember feeling so blissed out and like, I'm judging nobody for nothing. Like, to each their own, we all have our own paths. And she's going, it doesn't bother you even a little bit. Like, that doesn't trigger you at all. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, I don't understand that. How can you not be in judgment? Like, this is a big deal. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I firmly believe that what's meant for me isn't going to miss me. And we all have our own path. And like, if that's what you're going to do, I mean, if it's disappointing on some level to me, I might be like, bummer. But like, okay, I see that that's your path. I'm like, I really don't. And I meant it. I haven't quite stayed in that phase. That's died down a little bit. But that's part of the learning process, too. You're going to learn that through different phases of your spiritual awakening, things that you thought you had conquered. No, it's you didn't. Back. It's back. It might be in a different way or to a different degree, but they're going to bring scenarios or people or whatnot into your life that test these theories. They might bring an ex back around.
Oh, scenarios and scary hoes. God, you went there.
Scenarios and scary hoes. Oh God. But anyways, it's when you get to this like next stage or the stage after that, you can reach that point where you feel like you've plateaued. Like you're not really progressing. There's nothing exciting happening. There's no bells and whistles. Those have died down.
Oh yeah, very much in one of those at the moment. I noticed the other day it's kind of like nothing's happening. What's going on?
Yeah. Same.
Keep meditating.
And you're like, am I doing something wrong? Is there something wrong? Did I make a wrong turn? How do I get back? There's no back. Now, if you're doing things, with that being said, if you're doing things that are like definitely sabotaging yourself, if you're watching horror movies, if you're sending your friend horror, scary like memes and videos that might upset them.
I mean, that would be if it was malicious, but if it was sent with love, that's different.
It is different. I'm just teasing you. if you're out drinking and drugging, if you're in a toxic relationship and you're fighting all the time, if you're doing things to purposely lower your vibes and sabotage yourself, that's different. You can get back. You can. But if you're just doing what you need to do every day, you're meditating, you're living like your best self, there's nothing to get back to. You're there. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're already there. Just keep going. Like you said, just keep going.
You're reviewing. Keep. Am I being toxic lately? Not that I can think of.
Right. I have to say that I called myself out on some toxicity the other day. I did. I was just talking to my friend Kathy about this earlier today. I'm like, I was the toxic one. News. And I wasn't meaning to be, but I was being petty. And okay, I'll just name it on air. You know, because we're here, I believe in being vulnerable so that other people can learn from my stuff. So I tend to overshare. I recommend in normal life oversharing and like TMI with everybody. But I like to use my platform as an opportunity for people to learn from my mistakes and learn from my successes. So I own my shit. But anyways, as everybody on the planet and their grandmama knows, Fred and I broke up a couple of years ago. And I broke up with him because, like, it just, love him dearly, but we are not meant to be together. And since then, Fred has moved on.
And again. And again. Sorry.
It's usually with the same person, though. They kind of go back and forth. We're on, we're off, we're on, we're off. Anyways, on one hand, good for him. Good for him. I hope he finds somebody that he... My goal is for him to be happy. That was part of the whole purpose. We need to separate so that we can both be happy because this ain't it. On the other hand, on the toxic hand, I'm like, who does he think he is moving on? That pisses me off and it makes me jealous and it hurts my feelings. If I said something to him, he's always like, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to, you know, see my friend in Michigan. And I'm like, that's always my response. Or I'll be like, forget you then, Fred. Like, and he's like, why are you so butthurt about this? And I'm like, I'm not. And he's like, uh-huh. And I said something to him about it one time. I'm like, I don't know what you see in her. He goes, you've never even seen a picture and you don't even know her name. Like, what do you mean you don't know what I see in her? And I'm like, you should not be moving. He goes, you broke up with me. Why are you trying to, like, keep me unhappy? I'm like, I'm not. I just think that you should
suffer more.
Move on. You should remain brokenhearted and worshiping at my feet. And he laughed because he thought it was kind of a joke, but and it was, kind of. There's a part of me I had to own that deep down somewhere, I don't really wish that, of course not. That was a joke, but inside of every joke is a little truth. And there's a part of me that's like, my God, I do kind of wish that. How dare he move on? How dare he move on? That's so ridiculous and toxic. But the thing is that I saw it and I own it. And so now I'm actively trying to correct it and get myself in check and purge that shadow that is like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sometimes you are the toxic one and you have to do that shadow work to try to find it in yourself and get it out of there.
I had that internal battle a lot in my head. I'll start down a negative or an uncomfortable, something that I don't like, and I'll start rattling in there. And then all of a sudden the voice will come out and be like, let that go. Just let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to stop yourself sometimes because, you know, you'll just, if you're like me, you'll just start going down that path and you'll piss yourself off and you'll keep going. You're like, no, let that go.
Yeah. Yeah. I've started stopping mid-sentence and saying, I ask that any timelines I just created with those thoughts and those scenarios that are upsetting me, let them just die on the vine, wipe them out. I didn't mean it, and help to distract me to move in a different direction. Because, you know, you can have whole conversations in your head about things that have never even happened, are never going to happen, and you just hurt your own feelings.
Yeah.
Your brain can't tell the difference with that stuff. So have you ever found yourself feeling toxic like that about an ex?
I'm sure I have at different times, like wishing that to be heard, wishing them to at least appear more. Go back to the one I call it my evil ex. I just, you know, she didn't really show that. Moved on immediately, that kind of thing. So I was always hoping that I would see her now or some kind, but it never happened. And it just delayed my healing because I was just lingering, thinking about it, lingering, thinking, hoping and wishing instead of healing me and moving on.
Right. I think that's part of what bothered me too. And Fred didn't move on immediately. It's been, he took a solid year to move on.
My,
but
24 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. But even then I was like, only a year?
Eat.
You can get over me in only a year? Ow. I think I am worthy of at least a decade. Oh, my God. We're all humans here, right? Sometimes the human's going to human.
It is.
But it is. So anyways, don't be
suspicious. I'm sorry.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Told you, earworms, real easy.
So, my God, so easy. I'm so easily led and distracted, for sure. But, you know, that's part of the neurodivergence, too. It's like every word I hear is associated with a song or a phrase or a video. And the other morning, I woke up and I could count like three or four different songs and sounds happening in my head at one time. Crazy. Anyways, so that next phase, it, like we said, it's going to be where things settle down. They're going to settle down. They're going to, I wouldn't say fizzle out. They just reach normalcy instead of like peaks or even up here. It just kind of like, you reach your cruising altitude. And then you're going to go into periods where all of a sudden there's expansive growth. Because, you know, you only get what you're ready for. And sometimes you have to continue meditating and you have to continue doing the things so that your brain, your physical, literal brain develops and grows new neural pathways and whatnot to the point where it's able to accept higher frequencies and it's able to accept these different types of experiences. Because if not, you're going to get, what do they call it? Frequency sickness, awakening sickness. It goes by a lot of different words. You can really get flu-like symptoms and headaches and all kinds of stuff if you're taking on too much energy and your brain isn't ready for it. So sometimes you just have to stay the course. Keep meditating, meditating. It's like Groundhog Day. Groundhog's Day every single day. Meditating, incense, smudge in the house, incense, meditating, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, mine was during Lionsgate. I tend to get the most growth during Lionsgate, which is every year from like July 26th through August 12th, with the peak being on the 8-8 portal, August 8th. And then the eclipse seasons every year. If I'm going to have explosive growth, it's typically during those times. But you just stay the course, and every once in a while, bam, something new happens.
It's more
exciting. Things are going fly high in for a while. You're seeing things. You got more orbs. You're having these dreams. You're like, yeah, cool stuff's happening. And then it just kind of like levels out again. And then you just stay the course, hold the space, hold the frequency.
Even before a lot of the realization of this, I noticed those patterns. It was, you'd have long stretches of nothing, and then all of a sudden just like a week of excitement, like this is, you know, that, this, and then calm for a while. Then it comes back, then it goes, then it comes back. So it just, to me, it's even when I feel stagnated, I remember that. It comes and goes. Mm-hmm. It'll come when it's ready, when it's time. I can't force it. Can't put the square in the round.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're going to have times where everything seems to go off the rails and shit is falling apart. And that's usually the dark night of the soul, lots of shadow work, the great falling away. We've done an episode on that where like people are just leaving your life and you're losing friendships or you break up or whatever. And you're just like, what is happening? And that's because you're ready to level up. People that don't belong there are being pulled away. You are learning how to purge all of the shadows and the baggage and the traumas and the toxicity that is ingrained in you and that you've carried with you your whole life and you might not even know about it. So you are put in scenarios or you have dreams or whatever, where you start working on these things and you start purging them, and then it'll level out again. And then the whole thing repeat.
I guess
round and round the mulberry bush.
Yes, that's the frustration of so many, is you're looking for that consistency, like for it to happen all the time. But that's, at least up to my experience and sounding like your experience, that's not the case. But yeah, you want that inner, at least for me, you want that neatness, that interaction. Maybe not some of the spooky stuff, but definitely, you know, the pretty lights, the synchronicities, you know, the good vibes.
For sure, it feels so good. Every once in a while, I find myself just asking Spomio, I'll be like, am I where I'm supposed to be? And he'll say yes. And I'm like, is there anything I should be doing differently? He's like, no. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. I'm like, so I'm okay. Have I fucked everything up? Have I taken too many weeks off of YouTube or anything? And he's like, no. Because it just feels so status quo. Like when I first started this channel, and I still love this channel. I don't want anybody to take that out of context. I love the work I do. I love the opportunity to be a teacher. I love the opportunity to have people who are willing to listen to anything I have to say. I love what I've created because I've worked really, really hard on it. But just as in marriage or relationships or anything, the beginning's really easy. You don't have to even try. Like, you want to be there. It's just flowing. It is so blissful. You're having the best sex. You're just excited to buy them gifts and all of that stuff. And then real life happens. And it's just, life is lifing. And sometimes, some days, you just have to really work to remain present and not go,
that starfish.
Right. Could you even pretend to put a little effort into this shit? But you stay the course. You know, you stay the course through that roommate phase. And if you're both interested in making it work and putting the effort into making it work, you'll come out on the other side with a deeper, more genuine love. But you have to just trust that if you just keep going, it's not always going to be blissful. You'll have these little moments. You'll have these little moments where it is. But that's not real life. And then you're going to have another trial that takes you down and makes you work on things. And then you'll have a panic that you guys bond through. You know, shit happens, and then it's peaceful. And then you have a good moment, and then it's peaceful. And then shit will happen, and then it's peaceful. That's just life. And the same goes for your spiritual journey. You never graduate.
Please, no trauma bond.
There's no finishing. You just keep going. And when you're ready for the next level, you get it and you start all over and you're just like, but it's worth it. My life is better. I have peace just knowing that it's all okay. What else did I write in here? I got all these words and maybe I should just read this.
A prepared statement. It'll be great at first. And then it'll suck. And then it'll be good again. And it'll suck again. I'm fine with it.
So I'm actually going to take a minute to read off the notes that I wrote about this episode. Because whoever this version of me was had some things to say. And it's a lot to like remember in a casual conversation. So I'm going to honor past Veronica. And I'm going to read what she has to say. And hopefully you get some value out of it. When you think that you've plateaued or stagnated, keep going. As your practice matures and grounds, some of the fun bells and whistles calm down and you feel like nothing is happening. The fire and desire to do all the things calms down. And you may stop doing things like using the pendulum or going to every psychic you can find that you used to do all the time. In the beginning, it's like any other art form, such as learning to play the piano or some other instrument. You need a mentor or someone that you can emulate. You tend to play someone else's music before you learn how to write your own. So you follow what other people are doing, and then as you mature, you begin to find your own rhythm. You own your own likes and your dislikes, and you begin to tweak your spiritual practice to fit yourself and your rhythms more. In the beginning, you might judge other people for doing things differently than you or believing differently than you. As you mature, though, you realize that it's really none of your fucking business what other people are doing, and that as long as no one's hurting anyone else, live and let live. We're all on our own paths, and whatever moves you in the right direction for you and whatever moves them in the right direction for them is exactly what's right. A lot of people reach a point where they return to religion. And that's okay too, because it's easier, honestly. In religion, you don't have to do the work. You don't have to do the shadow work. They'll say that you're supposed to, but really, no, you don't. Been there. Jesus paid the price. As long as you ask for forgiveness, your sins are covered by the blood, and you don't have to take accountability for any of it. You can blame everything on the devil, and you can ask Jesus to fix it. There's no accountability. You don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to dig into that shadow. And it's really just a really deep form of spiritual bypassing, if you ask me. And it's much easier than doing all of the work that it takes on your spiritual journey. Trust me, as you mature spiritually, the shadow work never stops. It only goes deeper. As you grow spiritually, you also realize the importance of solitude. Maybe not all the time, but at intervals. Sometimes when you spend too much time talking about what you're doing and what's going on and what you're learning, it doesn't get a good chance to really integrate. If you step away and you spend time alone and just quit talking about it, don't talk about it, be about it, then the dust settles and you can see how you really do feel about these things, how they really do fit into your life or not, and what you'd like to change. When you're constantly talking about it, there's no time for reflection. There's also no time for new experiences, honestly, which is why it's so important to take the breaks, especially as a creator. Look, we took the summer off, and that's also why I take several weeks of filming off at a time, because how can I share what's happening and developing in my life and on my spiritual journey if I don't take the time to actually live a spiritual journey and then have time to reflect on it? And I think that that's so important, and I think that taking those times off to just sit with myself, live the daily life and sit with myself in these things to see what still fits me. How do I still really feel? Because I know the words that I'm saying, I want them to mean something. I don't just want them to be words. And so do I really still mean what I'm saying? Have I learned anything new? Only you can decide if that feels like solitude or loneliness, but try to find the value in it where you can. Carve out some quiet time for yourself and figure out what belief system is right for you. By talking about it, you allow other people's opinions and their thoughts and all of their coloring on it to get on your picture. You know, they let their opinions all over your thoughts and it gets muddy. So figure out what you like and what you don't like and what resonates and doesn't. Move in silence until you have a grip on it.
And lasagna.
Huh?
Like the G and lasagna.
Right. Right. Or if you're a person that does need to talk things through like I am, have a few people that are your sounding board that allow you to talk and to air out your thoughts and emotions and feelings.
It's a good combo. You more than me, you love to talk it out, where I'm more of the listener. I will speak.
I do wish you were a little more talkative. I would be great with that. But I'd be okay with that.
I love my solitude. But I love quiet. It's if I can't get it, I will go mad.
Same. I appreciate the fact that you often let me into your solitude. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
I learn a lot. I get to hear a lot. It's the experiences. I'm absorbing it. It's the energy. And that's why a lot of times I am a listener. I will, when I have something to say or need to say, I will. But a lot of times, I'm like almost like a cheerleader for anybody in front of me. Like, tell me what's going on. And I'll sit there and listen. But then sometimes I'll get frustrated with me. He's like, you're not asking any questions. It's like, well, I'm letting you talk. I don't really have any questions. This is, you know, good stuff. Even, you know, maybe I agree, I don't agree, but this is you. This is your journey. Let me hear it.
Yeah.
And from there, I can learn stuff from that. I can, you know, listen to your what worked, what didn't work, how it made you feel. And then in my own very imaginative mind, I'll sit there and I can imagine how that would impact me and start drawing lessons from it. I know it's not as impactful as the real lessons, but it's still something to look at and think about, like, how would that have affected me? Yeah. Like, how if my ex waited a full year, would that have, you know, made me feel better, or would I still be like, bitch?
Do you think that you have healed enough that you can get to a point where you can release her from that?
Hold on. It's just that was an example. Yeah.
It still bothers you, though.
No, I mean, it was the way it came off was still painful. And it's one of those things it's taking a long time to get past, you know, small back fill on it. It's, you know, the couple weeks prior, before she had bolted, you know, she's like, let's pick out rings. And of course, I was still working through college and doing all that stuff. So
yeah,
I was having to scrape some money together, do a little layaway, if you know what I mean. And as soon as we get that all going, like, she text breaks up, 24 hours, she's already with another dude. Month later, she's with a different dude. Month after that, she's pregnant. And I got to watch all this. So I think that's one of the big reasons it bittered me for a while, because we were working together too. So workplace relationships aren't always the best idea.
No.
Especially, I was trying to finish school, and so I got to watch this woman that I was ready to buy a ring for slowly get
bigger
and bigger and bigger. And, you know, it did some stuff. And so it was one of those I've had to work around. But, you know, if I was able to bump into her, could I say, would it bother me? I don't know. That's one of those you would have to just, thankfully that hasn't happened. I have run into her dad and her brother at different times in the area. Like, I showed up to federal jury duty and I was in there with him or her father. I'm like, oh shit. Thankfully, we never got stuck on any actual cases together. So we didn't have to be in a box for 12 hours communicating. Not that I had any problems with them. I just felt it'd be kind of awkward for me at least.
I had to get to that point with my ex-husband. You know, I've been married a couple times, and my first ex-husband, I mean, I don't hate him. He wasn't evil. I'm not thrilled with him, but, you know, because he was a cheater. My second husband was the evil one who was very abusive and awful. My first one, though, a couple of years ago, he cooks a lot. He has barbecues and everything. And Courtney's like, Dad keeps hounding me to come over and make a plate. Will you come with me so I can use you as an excuse to not stay for very long? And I'm like, no, he's probably going to wrangle me in while I'm there and be like, what are you doing? Want to get married again? And she goes, he would too. And I'm like, why do you want me to go over there?
So, girl, why are you still talking to my exes?
So she finally talked me into it. I mean, I don't have anything against him. He's a great guy. But anyway, so I went over there and he somehow, the conversation of, well, at least you don't hate me anymore, came up. And I was like, no, I don't hate you. And because, listen, we got married. I was 17.
Inflictions hitting me all of a sudden that triggered songs.
I got married when I was 17 and he was 19. And we got divorced when I was 20 and he was 23. So this was a very quick, early marriage. We had two kids out of it. And I'm like, I don't hate you. I'm not crazy about the way you treated me. But it was a long time ago. He goes, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like just like yesterday. And like, I'll never move on. I'm like,
see, you got,
move on.
Look, that's what you're waiting for. Yes. Decades.
Yeah. 32 years later, he's still pining. Yeah. Courtney asked him why he's never gotten married again. And he's like, I already have my wife. I'm like, it's safe for you to marry again. Go ahead. It's safe. But anyways, at that point in time, I had told him for a lot of years, I carried that. I carried around the disappointment and the betrayal and all of that. I'm like, but I mean, that was like a whole other lifetime ago at this point. And I'm like, do you realize how young we were? I know you're thinking about this with your adult 50-year-old brain, but like, can you conceive of how young we were? When we separated, we're younger than my youngest kid now. Like, we were so young. We both came from households that left us traumatized. We were both coming out of the trauma that the church caused. We had no home training to speak of. We did not come from stable families. I think given all of those circumstances, we did pretty effing good. It wasn't destined to be forever, though, and we may have handled it shitty, but I think it's fair that we can just look at each other and say, we were just really dumb kids. And forgive each other and shake on it and walk away. I hold nothing against you. You were just a dumb fucking kid. You were 20 years old. And he's like, I think that probably changed my life here. And you say that. And I'm like, well, go in grace with it. It's yours. I forgive you.
Don't get over me. Then walk off.
But never get over me. No one will ever compare. And you know it. Flip my hair and walk away. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. See? Shadow. Oh, my God. I think there's a part in every person who wants to be pined after or loved that much. I want to be loved that much by the right person. I got plenty of people who adore me and want to come back. They're really the wrong people. I don't want any of this. I want to be loved that much by the person I want to stick around. This has been way too much about my inner desires to be.
No, you've bottled this up loved all summer. So now it's time to release.
No joke. This is the first episode. Everybody's going to be like, is this what it's going to be like the whole season? I don't know.
You really got off track. That's all right. It's fun backstories.
It is. It's, you know, we aren't doing as many of the.
I had to look at, I was closing my notes for the episode. Anybody who catches me looking sideways, I'm really working on it. Yeah, my tism and all that. I have a hard time. I don't like looking at people's eyes in general.
Gaze into my eyes, John. Right here. TikTok ate you alive, brother. I had to start blocking people and like deleting their comments.
They want you. They want TikTok, me out of the way.
TikTok was a whole other beast. I mean, I'm for defending the women. I'm for like that guy if he's doing wrong, right? I'm all for it. But that wasn't this. Like if I posted these little videos or these little shorts on TikTok, some of them were funny or whatever. And he'll like glance at the monitor or look away. And she's like, look at him, not even paying attention. Move on, lady. Red flag. End the relationship. And I'm like, you don't even know who we are or what's happening. And they're just like with their pitchforks and wanting to burn you at the stake.
Did you see me look this way? I actually have a second monitor that has notes and, you know, suggestions, thoughts. And it's a board we've created. And so I'm looking this way. I'm like, all right, yeah. We're covered, covered.
All right. Well, since we've shot the shift.
The combination episode.
Yeah, it's a combo episode. Welcome back, everybody. If you've made it this far, we love you. You're an OG friend. But do you have anything to add before we go?
Stay the course. Don't get frustrated. Just keep going.
Just keep doing what you have to do every day. Just stay in the flow. Follow your instincts. Follow your intuition. Keep with the meditating every day and trust that it's unfolding as it's supposed to unfold. And you're doing great. It's about creating a lifestyle and it's about creating a life that feels good and gets you to where you need to be versus spirit acting like a circus clown and a monkey, you know, just like dancing monkey entertaining you all the time. It's just, kind of, it's a way of life.
I had that feeling after a while. I was like, am I treating him like a circus monkey? Like, give me something else. Dance again.
Right. Yeah. It's just a way of life. So just stay the course and keep going and you're doing great. Let us know if you have any comments or questions. Let us know if you have any show ideas or any feedback. And thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening to us chitter chatter. And if you want to join in on the conversation, add a comment. Let us know your thoughts.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, until next time.
Bye.